9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Another beautiful day out here in western Oklahoma in the Texas Panhandle. Looks like Hollis, Oklahoma. And Eric, you are the hot spots at 79 up there in the Panhandle. It's pretty warm up there in the Panhandle already. Goodwill is at 86 degrees. Elk City, you're 75. Camargo, 76. Woodward, 77. Cool spot is Freedom, Oklahoma. Usually they're the warm spot, but today they're the cool spot. They're at 69 degrees. Must have some cloud cover up there. Well, I got the deal up. We'll talk about the drought monitor. I don't know if you guys seen the latest drought monitor coming out, and it just doesn't look great. What's interesting is Oklahoma and Kansas probably have more red in it than any other state. California's got a lot of D4 going on, but California's a big state, but there's a lot more red in Oklahoma than there is in Texas now. A month ago, it was just the opposite, but looks like in Oklahoma, Hollis or Harmon, Greer, Jackson, Tillman, parts of Kiowa County, you're in a D4 drought, which is not good. There's a big spot of D4 drought over in eastern Oklahoma. Texas, you just don't have a lot going on. You're still in a drought, D1 and a D2, but Oklahoma, for the most part, the biggest part, is in a D3, D4. And a D2, and we really need some rain. And I got our forecast coming up for us later on, the long ranger coming up, but I looked at the long ranger, guys, and I'm sorry, I just don't see any moisture in the forecast, at least for the next 2 weeks. And we all know that can change pretty quickly, but just for a forecast, it doesn't look very good at all for us out there. So anyway, we'll see what's happening. Well, as you guys, most of you guys know, one of my favorite hobbies is golfing, and I do quite a bit over at Sayre, and the Sayre membership over there is made up pretty much of a lot of farmers and ranchers over there. Last night after the Thursday night scramble, some of the ranchers and farmers and whatever you want to call us hung around and was telling some pretty good stories on what happens when a cow gets out. And I could talk to a lawyer, and from what I've researched, maybe some of you guys can answer this. The text line is open, and I could use your responses, please, at 580-225-9697. I don't care if you're from Woodward or if you're from Beaver or if you're from Hollis, but if you guys got the real answer, I'd appreciate it. But is Oklahoma an open range state? And now, I know Texas is. I know Wyoming and Montana and some of those states are. I think Kansas is too. But truly, is Oklahoma an open range state? And I would like to hear your responses on that. Well, anyway, we got to telling some pretty good stories in there, and it was all fun and games, but there was a oh my gosh, the things that go on in western Oklahoma on the farm and ranch, because there was one of my friends there that wasn't raised on a farm. He was just in there with his mouth jaw wide open, like, this really goes on around here? Yep, sure does. So it was all fun. Some of the stories I can tell, some of them I won't, but we'll get on to them later. And while I'm thinking about it, you guys don't want to miss Monday's show. We're going to have Mark Dotson on here. And he is the head honcho and the auctioneer for the chicken auction at Eric once a month. And I'm going to get him in here and just quiz him on how a chicken auction actually works. And then I'm going to see if I can get him to tell me some of the fun stories that happened at a chicken auction. Because, you know, things can get crazy every now and then. Maybe a chicken gets on the loose and flocks a crowd or something like that. But we'll see what happens. Anyway, so don't miss Monday. It should be fun. And I got some really good guests coming up later on next week that you don't want to miss out on either. Well, let's check out some grain prices real quick. Man, everything, I'm telling you, everything except for feeders is in the red. It's just not, looks, doesn't look like a great day on the market. December corn, 676. Corn for March, 681. July, 675. Soybeans, November, 1426. They've taken the biggest hit. They're down 30 cents. January is 1432. March is 1435. Soybean meal, October, 43910. December's 422.50. January, 417.60. Soybean oil for October, 67.24. And December, 64.07. January, 63.12. Hard red winter wheat for December is 953. It took a pretty good hit too. It's down 25. March is 950. Oats, December, 395. March, $4 even. Cotton took a pretty nice hit too. CME cotton number two, October, 96 cents. December is 96 cents also. Oil, crude oil is down below $80. That's been a first in a long time. It's at 78 bucks, West Texas crude, that is. And natural gas is down below 70 bucks. It's at, or 7 bucks. It's at $6.80 per 1,000 cubic MCF. The markets, S&P 500, NASDAQ, Dow, they are taking a huge hit today. And I'm pretty sure it's because the value of the dollar is crazy. So we'll get onto that here in just a second. Let's see what cash grain prices are at the elevators in Texas and Oklahoma. It'll come up. Hard red winter wheat is at 905. Corn's at 768. 698 for Milo and $14.32 for soybeans. And that's the cash prices. Well, let's check it out. Let's see what's happening, what's causing all this. And yep, sure enough, I hadn't even read this report, and the first line answered my question. Soybean and grain futures plunged in overnight trading as the value of the dollar continues its rise, making dollar-denominated goods more expensive for overseas buyers, leading to an exodus in other assets, including commodities. The value of the dollar has been rising because of the interest rate hikes by the U.S. Federal Reserve in its bid to get inflation under control. This week, the Fed's increased its federal fund rate used by institutions to set interest rates on large long-term purchases by 75 basis points for the third straight time. Rising interest rates also increases fears that demand will wane, which is ultimately the goal to bring down some prices. Treasury yields and equities also are taking a beating overnight and still today. Crude oil was down 3% overnight and is already down another 3% today. Investors are exiting almost all asset classes and turning to cash, which has inflows of 30.3 billion bucks, according to Bloomberg, citing strategists from the Bank of America who use EPRFR global data. Outflows from a global equity funds meanwhile totaled $7.8 billion. Export of soybeans, corn, and wheat all drop week to week, an indication of weak demand for U.S. supplies. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 11.5 cents to $14.45.5 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal lost $2.90 to $426 a short ton, while soybean oil dropped $1.39 to $65.07 a pound. Corn futures for December delivery lost 10.25 to $6.78 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery plunged 16.25 cents to $8.94.5 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures were down 11 cents to 968 and a half a bushel. Just go over some numbers real quick with you on exports. Corn exports fell from week to week. Last week it was 583,000 tons. This week's 183,000 tons. Not good. Japan was the biggest buyer this last week at about 83,000 metric tons, and Egypt come in there at 65,000 tons. Exports for the week total 563,000 metric tons, but that was actually up from a week earlier with corn. Soybean sales to overseas buyers declined to 446,000 tons. That's down from 843,000 tons. Egypt was the biggest buyer, them and China. Egypt 174,000 tons, and soybeans, China took 152,500. And an unknown buyer canceled 184,000 tons. Exports for the week was reported at 522,500 metric tons, and that was up from 375,000 tons the week prior. Wheat sales last week came in at 183,500 tons. Indonesia bought 136,000 tons, and China bought 135,000 tons. These purchases were offset by a cancellation of 255,000 metric tons by an unknown destination. Exports of the grain for the week totaled 678,000 tons, and that was about what it was the prior week before. Well, nationwide, guess what? Freeze warnings and frost advisories have been issued for Wisconsin. According to the National Weather Service, temperatures overnight fell to as low as 30 degrees. Some local temperatures will range from 33 to 35, resulted in some frost advisory. Meanwhile, back here in the Midwest, central Kansas, meanwhile, got some showers and storms going on. They'll rumble through there through most of the afternoon. Strong storms are not expected. In eastern Oklahoma and parts of Arkansas, warm and dry weather would combine to increase the risk of wildfires. As I was talking about on the drought map over there, there's a really big dark D4 spot over there in eastern Oklahoma, and I'm sure it is pretty close to Arkansas. This is probably where they have a chance of some wildfires, and pray that they don't. Unseasonably warm temperatures will combine with ongoing drought conditions and southerly breeze to produce a limited fire danger this afternoon across parts of northeastern Oklahoma. Anyway, well, a little humor for you on your Friday, and I hope one of my favorite people from Arnett doesn't get mad at me because I kind of had to add some names in here, but I didn't put her first name, so you guys will have to figure that out. Well, in a court in Arnett in Ellis County, Oklahoma, this conversation was reported to have taken place at the courthouse. The lawyer at the scene accident, Mrs. Campbell, did you tell the deputy sheriff that you've never felt better in your life? Mrs. Campbell, who's a rancher, said, that's right, sir. Well, the lawyer said, well, then, Mrs. Campbell, how is it that you are now claiming you were seriously injured when my client's car hit your cart? Well, Mrs. Campbell, the rancher, said, when the deputy arrived, he went over to my horse, who had a broken leg, and he shot him. Then he went over to Darcy, my dog, who was badly hurt, and shot her. When he asked me how I felt, I just thought under the circumstances it was a wise choice of words to say I never felt better in my life. So anyway, a little humor for you on this Friday, big weekend coming up. When I come back, we'll talk about some cattle, see what how Jerry came about yesterday with their sale, and we got all kinds of things to talk about. I got some pecan news from the state of Texas. We grow quite a few pecans here in Oklahoma, but Texas is well known for its pecan. Talk about how the drought has affected it and how much they're selling for, if they even got any. And actually, after digging into pecans, the yellow-winged aphids affect pecans and pecan trees just about as bad as they do the alfalfa and wheat and stuff around here. So, interesting story coming up. I got a text come in. Let me see what that says, see if it got an answer to my question. Open range, yes. If the farmer has continued documented being negligent, then they may be held liable. And that's what I thought. And but I had a gentleman that told me they had to go to court on a deal, and here in Beckham County, I think, or Roger Mills County, and they said that it wasn't open range. So I guess I need to dig into this a little more, maybe call an attorney who's also a rancher and a farmer and see what they know. And that's what I always thought. And then I was corrected here a few months ago that Oklahoma is not open range. But I do know that you're right, that if a farmer's cows keep getting out on a highway or a county road or whatever, and the sheriff's departments do document this, and then something does bad happen, there's a good chance that they can be liable. So we'll dig into that more, because it's a really good topic that I like to everybody to be on the same sheet of music, not operating under fake news. How's that? Anyway, when we come back, we'll talk some cattle.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. HiPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local HiPro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, September 19th. 1,162 head were sold, 11 head of steers at 342 brought 214, 12 at 504 brought 189, 5 at 519 brought 180, 10 at 717 brought 164, 37 at 723 brought 180.50, 16 at 829 brought 173, 8 at 948 brought 156, 8 head of heifers at 386 brought 158, 17 at 462 brought 155, 5 at 515 brought 151, 9 at 556 brought 161, 12 at 592 brought 155, 9 at 746. 7 brought 157, 13 at 839 brought 154, butcher cows were 20 to 86, butcher bulls brought 94 to 107.50, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching.
Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently on the Gabe Gadget here at my studio at Elk City, 75.2 degrees, 53% humidity, and showing the wind here in Elk City is at 3.8 miles an hour out of southwest. Let me go back over here to the mezzanette and see what it looks like everywhere else. Come on, baby. Fire up there. There you go. Winds are out of the southwest at 9 miles an hour with 15 miles an hour gusts at the Elk City Mezzanette Center. And I'll have your northwestern Oklahoma, northeastern Texas Panhandle, and the Oklahoma Panhandle forecast coming up for you at the start of the next segment. And then we'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger for you for southwestern Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle later on in the show. Well, starting last Friday, today became the Happy Cap Hour for Wheeler General Store. So this is the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County. It's a go-to store for a lot of counties surrounding it, too. It's a cool store. If you've never been to that store, you need to go to it. They got everything you need, and that's coming from me. From animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies, they are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They are a high pro dealer and have been for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. So they pretty well cover the whole big area. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, right there on 6152 Highway when you pull in if you're coming from Oklahoma. Texas, they look forward to serving you. And thank you again for being a hat sponsor on Fridays for me. All right, well, let's go back to the cattle, see what's happening. When I started the show, feeder cattle were in the green. That was the only thing in the green. Well, that's no longer exist. Everything's in the red. Live cattle for October, 144.22, December, 148.35. February 152.62, April's 156.40. Feeder cattle for September 178. Even feeder cattle for October 177.95. Lean hogs October 92.95. December 83.07. And February 87.27. Well, before we go over kind of what Jerry Nine had going on up there at Woodward yesterday, I was reading in the famous article paper, the Penny News, on the Today in Ag page, and I was reading some of the stuff. You know, Jerry's always got some funny stuff to read about or serious stuff, and you, anybody that knows Jerry Nine knows he's not a big fan of the Packers, but he made this paragraph here that I'm going to read to you guys. It says, there's a lot of cows and bulls selling with a lot going to slaughter. However, our younger bred cows and pairs, even up to seven-year-olds, have been going back to the country. I am amazed how good the market has stayed, and so am I. I mean, it's had a week or two in there since last May that it's been weak. Like last week was kind of weak, but this week it's kind of recovered a little bit. But this is the first time in the middle of a drought that our cows have stayed high. Where it was so dry up north earlier and also to the west, those cows are already gone. Even though parts of Texas was very dry for a long time, part of that state has got big rains, and the drought monitor does say that. All I know, he says, it's a blessing to sell cows this time of the year at $30 per hundredweight higher than normal. I think most of our cattlemen think our cattle numbers will be in short supply, but the packer has gotten quite used to extra large profits, and they are probably not going to be willing to go for low profit. Heaven forbid if we heard again that the Packers were losing money. I haven't heard that term, it seems like, in 10 years. So anyway, it's the slaughter cow and bull market. There's another article that a friend of mine sent me that, let me read it for you real quick before I go over some of Jerry's numbers. Let me get to it. Sorry, I wasn't there. It's really, this was on social media, and the USDA numbers back it up. Year to date, we have slaughtered more females than males. It's unheard of, over 600,000 more heifers and beef cows than last year have been slaughtered this year already. So that's crazy. Yesterday in Woodward, Oklahoma, total receipts was 2,640 head compared to a little over 3,000 head last week and 2,229 head year ago yesterday. Compared to last week, feeder steers were steady to $3 higher. Feeder heifers were steady. Steer and heifer calves unevenly steady. Demand was moderate for the calves and good for the long-time weaned yearling type cattle. Quality was average. Supply was 100% feeder cattle, with 52% of those being over 600 pounds. I'm just going to go through a few of these numbers here real quick. It looks like, I think I mentioned it last week, the unweaned and the winged numbers have finally caught up. The unwings are bringing quite a bit lower. When I say quite a bit lower, anywhere from 20 cents to 10 cents, somewhere in that neighborhood, lower than the winged ones. Here's some 386-pound winged ones brought $1.95. We got some 428s brought up to 218. And then we got some 479s up to $1.98. And some 473s that were unweaned at $1.87. So there's 11 pennies difference right there. 500 pounders, 5 to 6 weights were bringing up to $1.92. 6 weights was bringing up to $1.85. 7 weights was bringing up to $1.79. And 8 weights was bringing up to $1.80. There must have been some really good ones. Anyway, that was what was going on there. And the heifers, not a whole lot of difference there. Some 400 pounders, $1.75. 500 pounders, $1.79. 600 pounders, $1.71. 700 pounders, $1.69. And some 800 pounders bringing almost $1.60. So there you got it. That's what was happening at Woodward yesterday. The Elk City Livestock Auction is going on right now. It's not too late to go out there. They usually have a great, matter of fact, I might go there after the show today, lunch special. And because I'm on my way down there to grab a swather, go finish cutting some hay that I got going on, got some brown millet going down, and it's going to be a busy weekend. I got a track off on my skid loader over there where I'm taking some trees out for a neighbor. I need to go check the water where my weaned calves are. I got a lot going on today. So anyway, I got busy. My wife, she's going out of town, so I got to feed the dogs tonight, which is fine. And what else is going on? Anybody else got anything good going on? Oh, got to go check my corn sometime this weekend. I think either I just made the last watering on it, and maybe one more. I'm learning a lot about corn. I know a lot of you guys that are listening, especially up northwestern Oklahoma and out in the Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma Panhandle, you grow a lot of corn. I've never grown corn before, field corn. I've grown sweet corn. And I'm learning a lot. You know, I didn't know what to expect. Ask a lot of questions. I'm sure some people that I know are probably sick of me calling them, asking questions. But I'm learning. So when you're learning at 60 years old, you're smarter than you was at 20 years old. So you probably ask twice as many questions. But I think if I don't put any more water on that corn, we planted it July 8th. I'll put almost 15 inches of water on it since July 8th, and that includes a 1/16 rain, a 1/16 rain, and an inch rain. So that's 2 2/10, and the rest of it was irrigated. And it's been really fun watching this corn grow, and I'm just can't wait for it to be harvested. We're still ways off. I think we're in the R5 stage right now. So the R6 stage is when it's done, it starts drying down and the ears start folding down. But I guess. I don't know. I'm learning. So, and I've documented everything that we've done and when I put the water on and what the temperature was. And I was really lucky that when it started pollinating, we got that drop in temperature from the hunters down into the low 90s and high 80s. Worked out perfect. So that's my Jimmy story of the day for growing corn. So it's been fun. And we're going to harvest it. And we've got gentlemen. Hopefully he'll buy it all. I don't think it'll be a problem. And then you just, it's just been fun. Well, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When fall rolls around, football season rolls around, I bet you guys see a spike because that's how you want to watch a football game.
Exactly right. If you're not sitting with your feet up and your dog on your lap and popcorn or whatever, you're not living right, because that's what people need, is to get home from work and forget about the cares of the world and watch OU or OSU play football and put your feet up. And that's why a good Lazy Boy is the best thing you can buy for a man.
Terry's Furniture Showroom.
We're at 2001 South Main in Elk City, Oklahoma, right behind McDonald's.
It's time to relax and enjoy life worry-free at Woodland Gardens Assisted Living in Hobart, Oklahoma. Life sometimes happens, like falling and breaking a hip or getting involved in a car accident. Surgery is needed and you don't know where to turn for help, especially if you don't have family nearby. Let Woodland Gardens be your family. They now have transition care, helping you transition from the hospital to assisted living until you're well enough to return to your home. Their loving, caring staff can nurse you back to health so you can get back to doing what you love to do, enjoying life. You'll get all the amenities of assisted living for one flat daily rate. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. Your own private suite and 24-hour monitoring. Visit Woodland Gardens Assisted Living online and see their ad in the Penny News. That's Woodland Gardens Assisted Living in Hobart, Oklahoma.
If you're like most people in business, you use a computer to get your everyday tasks done. And if something goes wrong with it, you're looking for someone to help you get it fixed and fast. These days, you can't function efficiently without one. Computers save us time and money. So here's my question to you. Who are you going to call when you have computer problems? The innovative technology team near Atwoods in Elk City can help. Wouldn't it be handy to call someone that's willing to come to you and fix the issue? You can even bring your computer in and they'll take a look at it. Think of the peace of mind you'll have. A team of computer people you can call when issues arise. And they will. Just pick up the phone, give them a call at 243-1559. 243-1559. They'll come right out and get you back up and running again. They have IT plans that'll work for any business. Innovative technology serving Elk City and the surrounding area since 1981. 243-1559. And check them out online at itlpros.com.
This big sale is the Bill and Peggy Grissom Estate Auction. This is 145.43 acres offered in 12 tracts. Or somebody could buy the whole farm, the 145.43 acres, along with the house and the shop, if the money's right. It's a prime location, 1405 West Lakeview Road in Elk City, near the Elk City Golf and Country Club and Elk City Lake. Track number 9, it's a 1,900-square-foot house with 3 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, fireplace, safe room, water softener, updated windows, a recently replaced roof. There's also an attached garage, and the house was built in 1980. And there's also a shop out back behind the house. It's going to be an absolute auction. It's going to happen Thursday, September the 29th at 6 p.m. My name is Mark Haney. I'm a realtor and auctioneer with Moxie Realty and Auction Company here in Elk City, Oklahoma. You can find all the auction details by going to moxierealty.com. That's M-O-X-Y-R-E-A-L-T-Y.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Your Long Ranger forecast for northwestern Oklahoma, panhandle of Oklahoma, and northeastern parts of the Texas panhandle. It is going to be mostly sunny this afternoon. 89 for a high, tomorrow 92, Sunday 85, Monday 84, and Tuesday's 87. We are slowly losing some daylight hours. The nights are getting a little bit chillier this morning. You almost needed a jacket on. So anyway, that is your forecast for up there in the northwestern part of the state. Well, yesterday, Jancy and I was talking, you know, about hunting and all that other good stuff. And everybody in the listening area can get their penny news, and everybody loves to get their penny news. But on the very, very back page, brought to you by Boss Bling Firearms in Clinton, Oklahoma, the firing pin in Clinton, Oklahoma, totally outdoors, right here in Elk City, Mr. Cameron, and R&K Superette right here on 3rd Street, there west east of downtown on the north side of the road. They've got a full page in here for hunter safety tips put out by the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife Conservation. So the conservation put out a good deal, so check it out. One that caught my eye is the safest color to wear while hunting is solid hunter orange, and that's for true. Don't shoot at water or hard objects such as rock or metal. True too. Don't use telescopic sights as a substitute for binoculars. Anyway, there's all kinds of good things in here. Check it out on the back page of the brand new Penny News edition that came out yesterday, if you want to. All right, let's see what else we got going on. Oh, we was going to talk about some castration earlier this week, and we got busy, sidetracked. I'm all over the place sometimes, but anyway, I just wanted to go over this with you. Maybe this will register with everybody that thinks this and thinks that, because I think this is a really good article on castration for cattle, but not for ranchers, okay? Anyway, the practice of castrating animals goes back to ancient times. Egyptian farmers found castrating bovine bulls made the animal much easier to handle. It was very doubtful that the Egyptians were concerned about the value-added components of their animals. But today, adding value to market cattle is the name of the game. And as we read the report a while ago, it's very true. It says winged, and a lot of times if they're not winged, they're not worked either. Is the name of the game, and castration is a key component to any preconditioning program that can greatly influence market price premiums or discounts, especially in older bull calves. Castrating bull calves has become common practice in the U.S. beef herds. In 2017, the USDA beef cow-calf study indicated that 62% of commercial cow-calf herds use castrating methods in their management practices. Castration has provided economic benefits to both the cow-calf producer and the feedlot operators through increased market prices and meat quality. Castration also decreases unwanted pregnancy and increases the safety of workers and other animals. There is a perceived notion that intact bulls have an advantage in body weight gains during the pre-weaning period and post-greater weaning weights than calves castrated at or near birth. However, numerous studies have shown weaning weights are very similar for bulls and steers, approximately 600 pounds. Advantages in the calf weaning gained due to the testosterone production as are presumed realized at the time following average weaning dates closer to puberty. The timing of castration can influence weight gain and stress management. Studies examining how timing of castration affects average daily gains, the ADG, in cattle castrated earlier, either in early life, birth to 2 months, that range, or those castrated at weaning or post-weaning time at 6 to 10 months, demonstrated higher ADG during the post-weaning period at the early castrated calves, approximately 0.30 pounds per day greater than those castrated at or after the weaning period. The period calves experience weight loss post-castration increases with age, as does the risk of diseases. The stress experience is also related at the time of castration, as the level of discomfort and trauma increases with the size of the testicles. Calves castrated at 5.5 months of age or later experience a greater duration of stress than those castrated at birth or at branding. Bull calves entering the stocker feedlot segments of the industry have numerous health and performance factors associated with late life castration. So in other words, they like it if they're, you know, castrated earlier, if you're looking at the feedlot. Lighter weight bulls, 300 to 400 pounds, are viewed as less risky, and discounts are generally minimal, if any. As the weight of a bull increases, so does the risk. Discounts can average $6 to $12 bucks per hundredweight, or $30 to $60 per head. A herd management practice that dates to ancient times and still used today has clearly proven beneficial. Castration also is an important part of adding value to your calves through preconditioning. And there you have it. So I just wanted to go over that with you. You know, me, I've gone both ways. I've just winged my calves, or not even winged them, took them to the sale barn, weighing somewhere between 450 to 550 pounds. Not work, not nothing. And then I've done some that were worked early, but I didn't wean them and take them. And it did bring a little bit more money if they were worked. But then you take, I don't know, you hear all kinds of stories. People say, well, you know, if we castrate and we lose one calf, you know, that's $1,000. Is it worth the risk? Let somebody else take the risk. There's all kinds of good stories out there about which way we need to go. So we'll see how that all works out. So coming up is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. But get your pencil and pen ready, ladies and gentlemen, if you're the cook at home. I have a recipe for you. Every now and then I like to give out recipes that are beef related. And I have a really good looking recipe for Tex-Mex beef lasagna. So I'm going to read over the ingredients and make your mouth water. And when you get done, just write it down. Make it up. Hey, everybody knows my phone number and how to get a hold of me. If you wanted me to invite me over to eat some of this lasagna with you and give you my opinion, sign me up. I'll be there. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying under the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. Drew Cobb in studio with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 16th. 2,080 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 311 brought 210. 5 at 498 brought 174. 10 at 568 brought 177. 11 at 603 brought 177. 4 at 705 brought 160. 10 at 725 brought 170. 11 at 779 brought 158.50. 6 head of heifers at 351 brought 183. 4 at 421 brought 162. 15 at 456 brought 165.50. 3 at 495 brought 159. 14 at 507 brought 155. 9 at 629 brought 143. 2 at 675 brought 141. Butcher cows were 36 to 87. Butcher bulls brought 62 to 114. Bred cows were 725 to 1400. Pairs brought 1200 to 1550. That's Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel, they're built better, they're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Pretty easy forecast for the Hobart Farm and Garden Lone Long Ranger for western Oklahoma, southwestern Oklahoma mainly, and the eastern Texas Panhandle. 89 degrees for high today. Currently it's 81 with winds out of the southwest, 11, 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow, 94 degrees. Sunday, 89. Monday, 84. Tuesday, 87. And it's pretty simple forecast. After tomorrow, looks like it's going to cool down. I don't know. Let me check this 15-day outlook and see if we're just going to stay in the 80s real quick. I'm not sure what daily. Come on, baby. Let me redo this here. There we go. All right. Looks like, because I haven't paid any attention to news. I don't watch TV very much. Yeah. Looks like we're just going to be in the low to mid 80s for the next 15 days, according to the Mesonet. So we'll see how that gets going. All right, here you go. We got, I wanted to go over this with you real quick. It's happening in Beaver, Oklahoma. The annual five-state beef conference is being held in Beaver, Oklahoma on Tuesday, October 4th at the Beaver County Fair Building from 10 a.m. to 4 o'clock. The conference will focus on range management during a drought. Our keynote speaker will be Kit Faro with the Faro Cattle Company. Looks like Faro to me. Anyway, the program including bulls, sustainable bulls, strategic level actions, and monitoring grazing when a drought prone to the world. Dr. Tim Stevens will be talking about that from Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. And then what is the stewardship? And Justin Rader, rancher at Canadian Texas, will be talking about that. And then current and future drought decision making, Adam Isaac's Isaac Ranch. You guys have always heard of the Isaac Ranch there in Canadian Texas. He's going to be talking about that. And all kinds of good things going on. Dinner and proceeding will be provided. The registration deadline is next Thursday, September 29th. There's a $20 registration fee for the conference. For more information, listen up. You can get a hold of Lorene Sizelove from Beaver County, 580-625-3464. Or Brett Hicks, OSU Area Livestock Specialist, 580-338-7300. Get a hold of Scott Strong from Ogletree County, Texas at 806-435-40501. Hope you guys know these guys because these numbers I'm sure you're not listening to or registering down, writing it down. But anyway, that looks like a great place to be going. And like I said, if you need to get a hold of it for any information, get a hold of Brett Hicks, OSU Panhandle Area Extension Livestock Specialist for Oklahoma State University. And that's coming up pretty quick, couple weeks here, but the deadline's next Thursday. Speaking of the deadline, on the front page of the Penny News, the North Fork Quail Forever yearly annual, it's the eighth one, I believe, banquet's going to be going on next Thursday night at the Elks Lodge here in Elk City. Everybody's welcome. You can look on Penny News or get online, quailforever.org, and look up events and find North Fork. And all tickets have to be bought online. There will be no tickets sold at the door. Run into some issues with people ordering dozens of tickets, and then they didn't show up. So we didn't get to sell them, but we had stakes ordered. So we had to end up auctioning off the stakes. So all tickets have to be bought online and paid for. That way we're guaranteed to cover our meals. So anyway, no big deal there. Anyway, I hope you guys attend that Five States Beef Conference. Sounds like a lot of people from New Mexico, Colorado, Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas will be attending that. Big deal there. All right, you guys ready for the Tex-Mex beef lasagna ingredients? Man, if you see this picture I'm looking at, it looks really good. No, anyway, we'll check it out here. I only need a couple pounds of ground beef, some olive oil, 1 tablespoon, 1 onion diced, 2 tablespoons of salt, 1 tablespoon of, or 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, not tablespoon. That'd be a lot of garlic. Half a teaspoon of cumin, 2 teaspoons of, what is that? I can't even read that. Anyway, half a teaspoon of onion powder, 15 ounces of canned corn drained, 15 ounces of seasoned black beans drained. I know we're getting into the Tex-Mex when you start looking at that stuff. 10 ounce can of diced tomatoes with green chilies drained. 15 ounces of canned red enchilada sauce. 1 cup of Mexican crema or sour cream. And 12 corn tortillas. 8 ounces of shredded Mexican blend trees. Easy. This is easy to prep. In a large pan or skillet, heat the olive oil to medium to high heat, then add the onion, cook till softened, 4 to 5 minutes, stirring regularly. Add the ground beef, then add the salt and all the other ingredients I was telling you about. In a bowl, combine the enchilada sauce and the cremin and mix well. Spray a casserole dish with nonstick cooking spray. Pour about a quarter cup of enchilada sauce mixture at the bottom to prevent the tortillas from sticking. Layer 2 to 4 tortillas across the bottom, and then put another layer of the ground beef on it. Spoon it over with enchilada sauce again, and then do that again. And you're going to have 2 layers of tortillas and stuff. Loosely cover the dish with foil in a tent shape to help prevent the cheese from sticking. Then place it in the oven for 30 minutes. Remove the foil and bake for an extra 10 to 15 minutes until the cheese is bubbling right in your face. Let it cool for 5 minutes. Grab your cerveza and enjoy you some Tex-Mex beef lasagna. Man, that sounds good. I'm hungry already. Yeah, I'm stopping at the sale barn on my way out of town here. So anyway, one more story to go over with you. The Texas pecan production is well below average. Demand remains strong, though. Texas pecan orchards were expected to produce a mixed bag of results amidst good prices and strong demand, according to the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Larry Stein, AgriLife Extension horticulturist from Uvalde, said that the drought and heat likely impacted a lot of orchards in 2022. Pecan trees typically go through a cycle. Like everything else, 1 year will be good, next year it won't, vice versa. Heavy crops are typically followed by lighter yields and vice versa, of course. He said that the harvest for early varieties like Pawnee will begin this week, but most of the other later varieties will be harvested in October. Pecan orchards in the far west were showing good crop loads, while trees in the central Texas were expected to be well below average. The crop looks good, but it is hit and miss this year. If you want pecans, I would suggest that you find them early, he said. The drought will likely mean smaller pecans also. Most commercial producers do have irrigation. There's a really nice pecan grove over there in Weatherford there on the north side. What is that county? Is that the back road to Arapahoe or something over there? There's a really nice one over there. And I just like watching them take those shakers and shake those trees. But right now, according to Price, very early retail quality Pawnee pecans were selling between $2.50 and $2.75 a pound in the shell. Prices in recent years have been between $2 and $3 per pound for in-shell pecans and around $4 for shell pecans. So there you go. But also there you got the yellow aphids has been hitting them hard, put sticky stuff all over the pecans, and it's going to be later, so it's not going to be the greatest. I don't know how they hurt them. It didn't go into details, but it's not. They said it doesn't harm them, but it makes the pecans really sticky. You guys have a great weekend. Hope you enjoyed the show. Stay tuned for Monday. We got the chicken auctioneer going to be in here. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.